Let me pin this on. My eyesight. There we go. All right, let me just bid you welcome again. My voice is not in the best this morning for some reason. So Rex, the answer to your question from a couple weeks ago, does that mean we're getting shorter sermons? The answer is yes today. I don't know why some days my voice works very, very well, and some days it doesn't. So we'll live with it. Quality. I hope you have an outline this morning of the lesson. I just chose out from the scripture reading verse 3. And again, it begins by saying, Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel. He said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Serve him only, and he'll deliver you. So you can see from the notes just three major headings. I keyed on just that word if, the three words if, then, and the word and. So if you do return unto the Lord. So if that's the situation, if that's your desire, then, here's the requirements, three things. Samuel said, put away the strange gods. Second, prepare your heart and serve him only. And then the word and. And here's the result. He'll deliver you. And that's what God wanted for his people. Excuse me, was deliverance. Deliverance. So by the word definition, return just means that you're going to be restored to life. That's what God is saying to Israel. He says, if you return, in other words, if you come back to me, you return. I want you to be put back in proper place. I want you to return. Do that which is right. Restore yourself unto me. And then so it's the next phrase was unto the Lord. In other words, to the God that you left. I want you to come back to the God that you separated yourselves from. And so this lesson is going to take a look at those three words. The words if, then, and. Those things. Number one, if. The goal is twofold and it's conditional. It's interesting because there may be some people that don't want to return to the Lord. You may know somebody like that. You know, you can preach to them or teach them or invite them to come to an assembly. The answer is quickly, no, I don't want that. I don't want to get back. I don't want to be right with God. I feel I'm okay right now. And that's another attitude that they have, is that the great difficulty we have is that some people don't see themselves as away from God. They think I'm okay. They're not convinced of the error of their way. They're very satisfied with their current situation. In their own eyes, they're still pretty good people. They say, I don't need to return to God. I'm not separated from God. And so you see people that don't see a need of repentance. There's a segment of society that doesn't see a need for revival in their life, or they don't need to return. And so the problem is not new among God's people. We see it in our generation and even in other times during Israel's history. For example, with Moses, he's 120 years old, and just before they enter the promised land, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 2, Moses says, I want you to return unto the Lord your God. Obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children with all your heart and your soul, So Israel did not go into the promised land, so they had to wander for 40 years. So this last exhortation of Moses, saying, I want you to now return unto the Lord when we go into the promised land. Get on God's side. So the situation is not new to ask a people to get on God's side. Solomon had a prayer at the dedication of the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 8, he said in the dedication of the temple, we've sinned. We've done so perversely. We've committed wickedness. And so in his prayer to God, Solomon says, So return we unto you, O God, with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. So with this dedication of the temple, Solomon says, God, we're dedicating us as a people to you too. We want to let you know we are want to be on your side. And that's what Samuel says here. He says, return unto the Lord. Or if that's what you want to do, do it with all your heart. With all your heart. In other words, put your heart into your effort of return. Saying, do it with some gusto, if you will. He said, if you want to get back on God's side, if you want to return, make that your desire. That's the start. If you return unto the Lord with all your heart, you know, Jesus made a similar statement too. Remember when the young man came to Jesus, he said, "What, Jesus, what's the best commandment or what's the greatest commandment? What's the best that I can be?" And he says, oh, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. That's the first and great commandment. If you're going to be on God's side, if you're away from God and want to return to God, you need to do it with all your heart. Put your heart into it. Make that your desire, your want to. This is what's on my mind. This is my resolve. If that's the resolution that you're making in your life, if that's it, that brings us to point number two. Well, I put two in my notes. You have to put your heart into it because as Solomon said in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. If your heart's not in the right place, then you have the wrong issues of life. Solomon also said in Proverbs chapter, or the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. So the resolution that we want to make, if we return to God, we need to do it with our whole heart. Be wholehearted in it. That's the resolution. Number two, in Samuel's discourse or in his recommendations or requirements here, threefold, he says, first of all, put away the strange gods. Put away the strange gods. And again, that's an old story. The other prophets said the same thing. It seemed like God's people were struggling with this throughout their history. It seemed like they were bent on leaving God and sometimes coming back to God and leaving God again. We know people like that today. You know, they want to walk on middle ground, left and right, this way, that way, this way, that way. And the encouragement of God's people is, why don't you stay on God's side? So if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods, the distractions. Put away those things that are causing you to go the other way. Jacob ordered his household in Genesis 35, said, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. So even Jacob to his own family, he says, brothers, you're not giving God wholeheartedness. You're not giving God the best. You're not giving God priority. You keep going after other things. So he says, put those things away. Joshua challenged Israel in Joshua 24. Same words. Put away the strange gods which are among you Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Again, the heart. Put this away and put your heart in this. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Israel didn't always obey the conditions. They needed to return. Even in Judges chapter 2, verse 13, the judge of Israel said, you've forsaken the Lord. You've served Baal and Ashtaroth. Oh, strange God. Why would you serve Baal? Why would you serve Ashtaroth? Baal was the god of the other nations. Originally, Baal was worshipped on high places or mountain places, the tops of the mountains. That's where they built the altars throughout the country, the high places. And their worship often included sodomy in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. That's a strange god. They bowed and kissed the image in 1 Kings 19, verse 18. It's a strange thing to do to the god. And parents would burn their children on the altar sometimes in Jeremiah 19, verse 5. No wonder God's prophets are saying, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You need to return to God with all your heart. Put away the strange gods. Wow. They bowed down to Ashtaroth. That was referring to the god of fertility. And then when they made these images of these gods, they were made out of wood or trunks of trees. And even Ashtaroth was associated with Baal. Baal and Ashtaroth many times went together. And so God's prophets are coming here and they're preaching to serve the only one and true God. And they're looking at, why are you serving this? Same message over and over again. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Perhaps for us today, you might have to put for an application in your notes, what strange gods do we need to put away? Don't answer out loud. What strange gods do we need to put away? It's nothing. Perhaps it might be nothing as obvious as Baal and Ashtaroth. No, I'm not that bad. I don't go worship a false god in the mountain. No. But there are things that we need to put away if we're going to return to God wholeheartedly. Might be a recreation that takes us away from God. Might be laziness. I've heard brethren sometimes say, Sunday morning is the only day I get to sleep in. There's a Greek word for that, Jim. You know what that Greek word is?
Baloney.
Baloney. You don't need to sleep in on Sunday morning. Some people are just doing home maintenance projects instead of coming to worship assembly. Some people is just deciding to forsake the Lord and serve other things. All these, to me, it's a strange God. You know, it's time for worship on Lord's Day. That's an appointment that's set. Somebody asked me, Brian, what are you going to do on this weekend on Sunday morning? I'm going to worship. And sometimes they say, really? Yeah, it's already set. Well, why don't you come do this? I already have an appointment. It's amazing. Just amazing. But these things that are strange gods, they're especially strange when they rob you of your service to God and your worship to God. That's a strange God you're serving over there. Home maintenance, mowing the lawn on Sunday morning. That's a strange God. But that's what God's prophets, God's preachers were dealing with, of people that were worshiping strange gods. So he said, put those away. Do your recreation on other days. Be besides Sunday morning. Then he says, prepare your heart unto the Lord. The admonition is to get our heart right with God first. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19, set your heart. Why don't you just say, prepare your heart, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And don't give it a haphazard effort. Look at the words there, set, seek. Wow. In Ezekiel 18, verse 31, it says, cast away all your transgressions. Throw them out. Cast away. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. And then a penetrating question. Then he says, why will you die, O Israel? Why will you die separated from God? Yeah. So Samuel, in dealing with the house of Israel, he says, if you want to return to the Lord with all your heart, number one, put away the strange God. Prepare your heart. Think of it as if when you do some renovation around your house or you renovate a piece of land so that good things may grow there, you're going to plant a garden. Well, think about what you do. I don't know what kind of order you might do it in, but I know if there's a plot of ground in our house or that we're going to renovate or plant something else, we're going to throw out the weeds first, cast those things out. Maybe rototill that dirt. Maybe bring in some new dirt or add some good ingredients. And you know why you did all that? To promote a healthy plant. If you're going to promote a healthy relationship with God, you're going to promote and nurture a healthy life. If you're going to have a gracious, good relationship with God, then cast out that which will hinder that. Put in the nutrients, the things that will cause the growth. Isn't that easy? And that's what God's prophets are saying. And so to them, it's a simple, very simple message, logical message. If you want to return to God, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. So cast out the strange gods. Prepare your heart and serve Him only. There's only one God to be served. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. Serve Him. Don't serve those strange gods. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to Him thou shalt cleave. He's your praise and He's your God. Praise God. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments. Obey His voice and serve Him and cleave to Him. Boy, there's a list. What does a good relationship look like? What does that good plant in the ground, what does it look like? Look at the word, walk after the Lord, fear Him, keep His commandments, obey His voice, serve Him, cleave to Him. Wow. Oh, but the result is worth it. The result is worth it. If you want, to put Miracle-Gro in your spiritual life, these are the things you need to do. And then look at the last. He shall deliver you. That's what I want. That's my heart's desire. I want deliverance. You must think I'm almost finished. And I am. I cut a lot of things short on this lesson. I could have exhorted a little bit more and jumped up and down, waved my hand. But we're looking for deliverance. It's interesting, when the birth of Jesus was introduced, it says, after you shall call His name Jesus. Why? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Why do you call His name Jesus? For He shall save, or He shall deliver His people from their sins. Deliverance. You get on God's side, and you receive the promise of deliverance. deliverance. God's always been delivering his people. I just have a quick list here. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Deliverance? 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. God's a God of deliverance. In Daniel 3, verse 17, Daniel said, if be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us out of your hand too, O King. God's always been a God of deliverance of his people. Acts 7, verse 10, God was with Joseph and delivered him out of all of his afflictions. In 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You know why we need to be on God's side? One reason that the Bible is giving right here, because God knows how to deliver his people. He knows how to deliver his people. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, he brought me up, and I put this, I think, at the bottom of your notes. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, brought me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and established my goings. You know, when we do our part, God will do his. He'll deliver us. He'll deliver us. And that's the message. That's the message. If you do return to the Lord, prepare your heart. Cast away the strange gods and serve him. And serve him. And he'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. I like that. I like that. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We'll do that this morning. If you're subject to it, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. If you want to return to the Lord, we can accomplish that. We'll offer our prayers on your behalf. We can certainly accomplish your deliverance. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come or let that be known at the close of this song. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Brother Leonard has selected for us.